Well, coming in here and just singing these wonderful hymns to the Lord and to His Father and ours, I'm just filled with joy.
Amen.
I'm flooded with, I don't know what to say, happiness. And as I'm looking down here, the whole hall is filled. And my understanding is that we have 4,000 chairs, which means we have at least 4,000 saints here. The regular Lord's Day morning attendance in Southern California is about 6,000. That means two-thirds of the saints are here. As I'm speaking, there's several hundred young people and serving ones who are not here because they're right now in some kind of a mountain trip. So if everyone shows up, surely we'll be busting at the seams and we need another bigger hall, right? I'm so happy because the Lord has gathered us together. Indeed, He has flocked us together.
Amen.
As a sheep, as His flock, to come together in one place. I can never forget Brother Lee's word to us in quite a serious way, repeatedly. He said to all of us, all the churches here, all the saints here in Southern California, you are not many churches, you are one church.
Amen.
It's called the Church in Southern California.
Amen.
Actually, that is quite scriptural, at least in one place in the Bible, right in Acts. We are not many churches in the way we are, but actually we are one church. We are part of the body of Christ. And I'd like to follow Brother Andrew from yesterday in the first meeting to give you some statistics related to Southern California for your encouragement and update, including a little church in Las Vegas, our little sister across the state line in Nevada. I don't know how they became part of Southern California, but they're all told 51 churches in the Southland. The Lord's Day morning attendance on the average is 5,944, and I don't like those kind of numbers. Let's round it up, 6,000. On the phone list, these are all our dear brothers and sisters who may not be that regular. They may come once a year, twice a year, three or four times a year, I don't know, 9,173, about 9,000 saints. And those who are meeting in our small groups, 5,135. The total number of English-speaking saints, 3,917. The total number of Chinese-speaking saints, 2,579. The total number of Spanish-speaking saints, 1,065. The total number of Korean-speaking saints, 623. And I have here the total number of Vietnamese-speaking saints, 28. You know, this morning, as we were singing the songs we have to call English, Spanish, Chinese, and at one point, I'm hearing all these languages. And suddenly, it just becomes just a noise, you know. I couldn't tell what is English anymore, what is Chinese anymore, what is Spanish anymore, and I got an instant revelation, this must be the way we're singing in the kingdom.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
The voice of many waters. We couldn't discern what language is what anymore. We're just singing in our spirit to the Lord. Amen. I'm sure there are other languages as well. I hope next year or whenever we come together again, we will have Arab speaking.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
Don't you think we should have that?
Amen.
The number of children in the Southland churches, 1,142. The number of young people, that is from junior high to high school, 949. The number of college age, 991. And the number of young working saints, I don't know what that means, I think roughly from 25 to 40 or something like that, 1,999. Why don't they just put 2,000? This irks me, you know. Just say 2,000. If you add all these together, dear brothers and sisters, we have about what? Just on the children, young people in college age, about 3,000. I think I'm correct. So there's a bright future in the Lord's recovery. So many dear young people. And this weekend, all the service and everything logistically related to this event is taken care of by the younger brothers. And as you, so those of you who have been with us yesterday, the speaking, the heavy lifting, I call them, in the speaking was done by the younger brothers. Don't you think they did a good job? I actually think they did a better job than some of us oldies. Praise the Lord. It makes me happy. Makes me so happy for what the Lord has done in Southern California. Well, Southern California is just one area in the globe and in the Lord's recovery. But we must say that this area is dear to Brother Lee's heart. He has been here for decades, and he consider the church in Anaheim his home church, and he consider Southern California to be his home territory. He feels this way. He spent most of his time, probably the most time in his entire life in his of his ministry in Southern California. So it is particular to him. This morning, we come to message 3, which is the third of the 5 messages given in the recent International Chinese Speaking Conference in Taipei. And of course, many of us missed that conference live, and so we have the burden to repeat the speaking of that conference. However, because of time limitation, this weekend, with only 3 sessions, we can only cover 3 messages. Now, for those of you who don't have enough, you said, I must get my fill of the entire 5 messages. I have good news for you, because next weekend, the Chinese-speaking saints in Southern California will gather together on Saturday from 3:30 to 8:45 in 3 locations, Diamond Bar, Irvine, and where else?
Arcadia
will come together and digest messages 4 and 5, and I was told there will be translation into English or Spanish or Korean. I don't know. So if you don't get enough, go there next weekend. Amen?
Amen.
But this morning we will cover message 3 on the all-inclusive Christ as the mystery of God. Now, I don't want to get into the message myself. I will leave this message to the 2 brothers following me. I want to just take a few minutes' time to tell you why we are covering these matters on the what? The main contents of the Lord's recovery. This is the main subject of this conference. The main contents of the Lord's recovery. Why are we covering that? I'll give you a little bit of a background. In the late 90s, we have a terrible storm or rebellion. And one of the main dissenters, who was a co-worker among us, had this to say, this accusation to make. He said, the Lord's recovery has changed. The nature of the Lord's recovery is no longer the same. That was his accusation. At that time, we did a lot of door knocking to preach the gospel. We come together in homes to have the small groups, We just started a full-time training, which we did not have before. We begin to collect some kind of statistics to better tell us, inform us, our condition and our situation. These we did. And even Brother Lee brought in the God-ordained way to change a kind of old system among us, all these things. By practicing these things, we sought to go on, to advance in the Lord's recovery. Yet, this person said, because of the practice of these things, the nature of the Lord's recovery has changed. Well, Brother Lee spoke to that accusation to educate us, to tell us, no, to do these things is not to change the nature of the Lord's recovery. This person who made this accusation did not know and cannot distinguish what is the nature of the Lord's recovery and what is not. These things, these practices, these wonderful practices are not part of the nature of the Lord's recovery. Our brother, remind us again, what is the Lord's recovery? And this weekend, we'd like to remind all the saints again, and we'd like to tell all those who are new among us just what is the Lord's recovery. And it is at that time he brought up 6 points. And these 6 points combine, form the content of this conference. Number one, message one, the church ground of oneness versus division. This talks about the ground of the Lord's recovery. To do anything, to have anything, you have to have a proper ground. The Lord's recovery has a ground, and that ground is the ground of oneness versus division. If we have only division, if we're in division, there would be no way for us to practice the Lord's recovery. This oneness is the most treasured thing in our midst. It is the oneness of the triune God, the oneness of the Spirit, and the oneness of the body of Christ. Number two, the church as the organic body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. The church is not an organization. It is the organic body of Christ. Indeed, it is that organism of the triune God. It is the fullness of the one who fills all in all, and that is Christ himself. We did not say it in this way, but actually, this particular message unfolds the Trinity and the work of this Trinity in his divine dispensing. And therefore, the body of Christ, the church, is the continuation of this Trinity, as we can see in Ephesians 4. The Father, the Son, the Spirit, and now this Trinity dispenses into the human beings, dispense into the God kind, dispense into God's elect, dispense into his chosen people. These now become four in one. This is not heresy. This is the divine revelation. So today, this organic body of Christ is just the mingling of the triune God and the tripartite man in a corporate way. This will issue in and consummate in the New Jerusalem. Number three, and that's what we will cover this morning, and that is the all-inclusive Christ as the mystery of God. Remember, these are the main contents of the Lord's recovery, and these are important to the nature of the Lord's recovery. We lose these things, we lose the nature of the Lord's recovery. Number four, and that's what we will cover next weekend in these Chinese-speaking conferences, the life-giving and compound spirit. The life-giving and compound spirit. And number five, the divine life in Christ. The divine life in Christ. And number six, the divine revelation of the Holy Word. This last point speaks to the constitution of the Lord's recovery. So we have number one on the ground. Then we have two, three, four, and five speaking to the nature of the Lord's recovery, the elements of the Lord's recovery. And number six, it speaks to the constitution of the Lord's recovery, which are all the divine revelation of the Holy Word. Brother Lee said this, these six items are the main contents of the Lord's recovery, and the nature of the Lord's recovery should be the very nature of the elements of these items as the contents of the Lord's recovery. Did you get that? The nature of the Lord's recovery, let me say again, should be the very nature of the elements of these items as the contents of the Lord's recovery. The essence of the Lord's recovery are found in these six items, in these elements. We should never forget them. We should never forsake them. We should never turn away from them. We hold them dear. We treasure them. This is our very essence. We will never lose them. If we do them, we will lose the nature of the Lord's recovery and the recovery itself. As for our standing, the ground of the church is the genuine oneness. If we miss this, we are no longer the church, but rather a continuation of Christianity. To remain in the Lord's recovery, we must keep Christ as our life and the oneness as our standing. As I did in Taipei, I'd like to read to you another quote from Brother Lee from another time in his ministry, just to emphasize, just to strike this point of the nature of the Lord's recovery and the importance of it. He said this in a book called The Healthy Word. The nature and the content of the Lord's recovery is life, which is Christ. The ground, the standing of the Lord's recovery is oneness. The constitution of the recovery is the truth. Thus, the recovery is built with Christ as life, upon the genuine oneness and according to the truth. The nature of the Lord's recovery should not change from life to a movement. The ground of the recovery should not change from oneness to divisions. The constitution of the recovery should not change from truth to falsehood. The Lord is bringing us back to life, oneness, and truth. The Lord's recovery is not a work or a movement. Rather, it is a testimony of life. We are not a movement. We are a testimony. A testimony of life, a testimony of the truth, and a testimony of the oneness of God. Unlike religious Christianity, the Lord's recovery is not a matter of activities, movements, ways, organizations, or concepts. In the Lord's recovery, we have only Christ as our life. Rather than a work or a movement, we should have a spontaneous testimony of life. We simply need to live Christ, grow Christ, and produce Christ. This is our daily living and our testimony. The Lord's recovery is to express Christ and bring his testimony to maturity. I stop here. Now, two brothers will speak to us with the help of this outline on the all-inclusive Christ as the mystery of God.
Yesterday, we had two marvelous messages. The first was on the church ground of oneness versus division. And the second was on the church as the organic body of Christ, the fullness of the one who fills all in all.
Amen.
Hallelujah for such a revelation. And if we are going to be kept on the ground of oneness, then we must exalt Christ.
Amen.
And if we are going to become the church as the organic body of Christ, to be the fullness of the one who fills all in all, then we must daily enjoy his riches so that those riches become the fullness in us. So here, this morning, we want to see in message 3, the all-inclusive Christ as the mystery of God. And this outline is based on the book of Colossians. And Brother Lee shared that Christ in Colossians is unveiled to a fuller extent than he is in any other book of the Bible. So Colossians contains such a high, profound, extensive, expansive revelation of this all-inclusive Christ. But Colossians was also written with a particular background. And the background of the book of Colossians is that there had been many things that had invaded the church and had become replacements and even substitutes for Christ himself. So in Colossians, we see that there were such things as Greek philosophy, Jewish religion. There were several isms, such as asceticism, legalism, mysticism. These things had invaded the church, and there was culture. Not the low things of culture, but actually the so-called good things of culture, such as philosophy and religion. But Paul wrote the book of Colossians to say, why do you turn to these things? Why do you allow these things to become replacements for the Christ who is all and who is in all? So he unveiled such a tremendous revelation of this all-inclusive Christ so that we would see that in the church, Christ is the unique constituent.
Amen.
What should the church be? A house filled with Christ. A house constituted with Christ. We should not allow the things of culture to invade the church and give them the preeminence over Christ, or to give them any ground in our being, that Christ would not be all in our experience. So praise the Lord for such a wonderful book, such as Colossians. In Colossians 1:12, the Apostle Paul writes a wonderful word, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for an allotted portion, for a share in the allotted portion of the saints in the light.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, the children of Israel were allotted a portion of the good land.
Amen.
But in the New Testament, Christ is the reality of the good land.
Amen.
And we have Christ as all the riches of the good land for our enjoyment.
Amen.
So this good land, in its shadow, in the picture of the good land, contains such things as many minerals, waters, many different kinds of trees. There were many elements in this good land that were for the enjoyment of the children of Israel. But Christ is the reality of all of those items, that we would enjoy this Christ and be rooted in Him as the good land, that He would be in our experience, in reality, our all in all.
Amen.
What a good land is this Christ.
Amen.
Even today in Christianity, there are many substitutes and replacements for Christ. There are many strong, dominant personalities, leaders whose personalities become replacements for Christ. And if someone is proud and dominant, that will be a frustration to one's enjoyment of this all-inclusive Christ. But what about one who is naturally good and humble? Even the natural goodness and humility can be a replacement for Christ. What about us in the church life today? Even the proper knowledge concerning the Bible can be something that replaces Christ Himself and our enjoyment and our experience of Christ. Our opinions can become replacements for Christ. But in the church life, on the ground of oneness, we exalt Christ. And we forsake culture, we forsake the natural things, so that Christ would have a way in reality to be all and in all, that the church would be the fullness of the one who fills all in all.
Amen.
Let's come to the outline. Message 3, the all-inclusive Christ as the mystery of God. Roman 1, Colossians reveals the all-inclusive Christ, the one who is both God and man. Our Christ, the all-inclusive one, is the complete God and the perfect man. This is central to our Christian faith. Point A, for Christ to be the firstborn of both the original creation and the new creation means that He is all-inclusive. In chapter 1, verse 15 of Colossians, the Apostle Paul writes, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." The image there is not a physical form. Rather, image there is the expression of God's being in all His attributes and fullness. That means that this Christ, who is the expression of God, who is the explanation, the definition of God, is God Himself.
Amen.
So right there in the first half of 1:15, we see that this Christ, as the image of the invisible God, is God Himself.
Amen.
And then it says, the firstborn of all creation. As the firstborn of all creation, He is the first among all created things. And He has the preeminence in creation. We may think that if Christ is the first, that means there's a second and a third. But for Christ to be the first means that He is all.
Amen.
And we may wonder, how can Christ be the first? Well, with God, there is no time element. And so in the life study of Colossians, our brother brings out so very helpfully that on the one hand, Christ was crucified nearly 2,000 years ago. And yet, according to Revelation 13:8, He was crucified from the foundation of the world. So there's no time element with God. And on the one hand, the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem at a certain point in time. Yet, surely if He was crucified from the foundation of the world, then He was born before the foundation of the world, meaning in eternity past. So in God's eternal view, Christ is the first in the creation because He has the first place in all created things. And there is no time element with God.
Amen.
So our Christ is the firstborn of all creation.
Amen.
There are two creations. There is the original creation of God, which became corrupted. And there is the new creation in resurrection. The old creation is old because it has nothing of God in it. But the new creation is new because the very God himself, who is the element of newness, is in the new creation.
Amen.
And this Christ is the head of both the old creation and the new creation. And in this, he is the mystery of God. Because he is both God and man, and the head of the old creation and the new creation. What a Christ have we.
Amen.
Point B says the all-inclusive Christ is the reality of every positive thing. Every positive thing in the universe is just a shadow of the divine reality in this Christ. Point one says we need to enjoy Christ as the reality of all our necessities. Our breath, drink, food, light, clothing, and dwelling place. We eat food as a shadow of Christ, the all-inclusive one, who is our real food. We drink and enjoy the drink. But we realize that what we drink physically reminds us that Christ is our real drink.
Amen.
The chairs that we sit on for rest are not Christ himself, but they remind us that this Christ is the rest to us in our spirit.
Amen.
So all of the positive things in the universe are just shadows of this all-inclusive Christ, whom we can enjoy as the reality of all our daily necessities.
Amen.
What a Christ, because he is experienceable.
Amen.
He's not a Christ in doctrine.
Amen.
He's not a Christ according to the things of doctrinal teaching. Rather, he is a Christ who is real, who is living, and who is in our regenerated spirit. And as such, we can enjoy him as the reality of all our necessities, moment by moment and day by day.
Amen.
Point two, if we follow the practice of taking Christ as the reality of all the material things in our daily life, we will be full of Christ.
Amen.
So when we're at work, we can just say, Lord, you're the reality of my rest. As I am sitting here at my desk, laboring. Actually, I'm resting in you. Lord, as I eat this sandwich for lunch, I like to be reminded that you are my real food and sustenance, that I cannot live apart from you. Praise you, Lord, for being such a one that I can experience and enjoy day by day. Point C says the all-inclusive Christ is the preeminent one, the one who has the first place in everything, both in the old creation and in the new creation, both in the universe and in the church. Christ occupies the place of preeminence. Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that he himself might have the first place in all things. Point D, the all-inclusive Christ is the centrality and universality, the center and circumference of God's economy. This Christ, as the center and circumference of God's economy, can be likened to a wheel, which has a hub that holds the spokes together and that spread to the rim as its circumference. Christ is the center in whom all things cohere. Is he the center in our daily experience? Does he have the preeminence, especially in our personal universe, in our job, in our schooling, in our marriage life, in our family life, this Christ must have the preeminence.
Amen.
And oftentimes we may feel, how do I balance all of my daily situations? How do I balance family life? How do I balance my school life? How do I balance my church life and my service in the church? How do I balance so many things when the cares sometimes press upon us? Do you know the secret to balance? It is to take Christ as the center.
Amen.
When Christ is our center, we are properly headed up and everything is in balance.
Amen.
Everything is in order because we have our priorities set straight. And Christ, in reality, has the center in our daily living.
Amen.
So this Christ is the centrality of God's economy. God's economy is an operation in, on, and through the person of Christ. And He is the universality of God's economy.
Amen.
What a Christ have we.
Amen.
Point one says, in God's economy, Christ is everything. God wants Christ and Christ alone.
Amen.
The wonderful, preeminent, all-inclusive Christ who is all in all.
Amen.
Point two, God's intention in His economy is to work the all-inclusive Christ into our being as our life and our everything, that we may become the corporate expression of the triune God. As we take this Christ in all the affairs of our daily living, actually we are not just becoming spiritual individuals, rather Christ Himself is growing in us and gaining His full expression in humanity. Because what He desires is an enlarged expression of Himself in the Christ who has been reproduced and enlarged in redeemed, regenerated, transformed, conformed, glorified humanity. An all-inclusive Christ needs a body to be His fullness for His expression. Point E, the all-inclusive Christ dwells in us as our hope of glory. This Christ, who is the hope of glory, is a glorious seed planted in us. And this seed will sprout and it will blossom unto glory.
Amen.
The glorious Christ, the all-inclusive one, is saturating every part of our inner being unto glory.
Amen.
And the creation is groaning until the revelation of the sons of God. That is, until the sons of God are fully glorified by the redemption of their body. And 2 Thessalonians 1:10 speaks of God being glorified in His saints. So Christ in us as the hope of glory is growing in us unto the glorious expression that He desires. Point one, the expression our life, point one under E. We worship the enthroned Christ in the heavens, but we experience, enjoy, and partake of the indwelling Christ in our spirit. We are one with Him in a very subjective way. Two, the Christ who indwells us is the all-inclusive Christ, the one who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the body, and the embodiment of the fullness of God. This Christ is in our spirit.
Amen.
Point F, the all-inclusive Christ is our life. Nothing is more personal or subjective to us than our life. And this Christ is our life.
Amen.
The expression our life is a strong indication that we are to experience the all-inclusive Christ. Two, because Christ is our life, all He has and all He has attained and obtained become subjective to us.
Amen.
Point G, the all-inclusive Christ is the unique constituent of the one new man.
Amen.
As the body, Christ, the body needs Christ as its life. To the one new man, Christ is the person. And the one new man is the highest aspect of the church because the Lord needs a corporate new man to accomplish his purpose on the earth. And this corporate new man that is constituted with Christ should be like, this corporate man should live the life like that which Jesus lived on the earth. What kind of a life is that? It is a life of reality that expresses God and causes God to be realized by man. So the corporate new man has as its unique constituent this all-inclusive Christ. And therefore, this all-inclusive Christ is expressed, magnified in the one new man, in and through whom he can accomplish his eternal economy on the earth. I'd like to just close with two short words. We all have had the experience in the Lord's recovery, where the Lord's oracle is, of hearing a word that changed our life, and then another word that changed our life, and another word that changed our life, and reading the ministry, and it changes our life. I'd like to share with you two words that I heard as I was quite new in the church life that changed my life. The first was that if you have come here looking for entertainment or anything else, you're going to be disappointed because all we have to offer you is Christ. Amen. And when I heard that, the response in my spirit was, amen, that's what I want. Amen. And the other word was this. We need to pray, Lord, rescue me from my ambition to be somebody in your recovery. Lord, in your recovery, nobody is anybody, and Christ is everybody. Amen. Praise the Lord for such an all-inclusive Christ, and that he is gaining the expression that he desires in the body, which is the fullness of the one who fills all in all. As the next brother is coming up, let's just sing that last verse, verse 15 of 5:10. Since such a treasure I possess, my heart doth sing for joy. Since such a
what a Christ have I. Well, I just appreciate so much Brother Tony speaking of these points concerning Christ. Two points I received is that the secret of balance is to take Christ as our center. And then this Christ is a seed within us as the hope of glory. Maybe as we get into the rest of the outline, you'll find some points concerning Christ that meet your particular need. Could we read all together point H on the outline? Inclusive Christ. For those who have their Bible readily available, as we get into this next point, could we turn to Colossians chapter 2 and read together verses 1 through 7 and then altogether verse 8, which is referenced on the outline for this point H. Together beginning with chapter 2, verse 1. For I...
Oh,
If I could pause you there, just to take note, particularly for any new ones among us, it mentions at the end of verse 2, the full knowledge of the mystery of God, Christ. May we continue with verse 3 through 6. Though I am absent
in the flesh, yet in the spirit I am with you, rejoicing and esteeming your word, and the solid basis of your faith in Christ.
As therefore you have received the Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk in him, having been rooted, being built up in him, and being established in the faith, even as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So as we look in Colossians, we see that Christ is not only the firstborn of creation, the firstborn in resurrection. He's not only the reality of every positive thing. He's also the centrality and universality of God's economy. He holds everything in the universe, both in our physical universe and in our personal universe together. He is the holding center in the universe. Christ is also our hope of glory, our very life, the unique constituent of the new man. And in this particular verse that we'll read together, he's also the standard and the only measure by which we can evaluate any concept that's acceptable to God. Could we read verse 8 all together? According to the elements. So in the context of speaking regarding the all-inclusive Christ, the apostle issues a warning to us. And he says, beware. Beware that no one carries you off as spoil. Through his philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the elements of the world, and not according to Christ. Saints, we are evaluating everything according to the apostle's word, according to Christ. Everything we evaluate is according to Christ, not according to any philosophy, any words of deceit, any tradition, or any element of the world. But praise the Lord, in this universe, there is a wonderful measure, and that is Christ himself.
Amen.
Could we read point one together?
The reality of all genuine wisdom and knowledge,
and the only measure
of all concepts.
Christ is the only measure. Saints, he is the only measure of all concepts acceptable to God. Don't you feel in Southern California and in America, we are in desperate need for a measure, a standard? That measure and standard is Christ. No philosophy, no empty deceit that carries us away as spoil from Christ is worth anything in God's economy. I don't have much time, but I just have even a little burden for the young people, because I have in the audience a 13-year-old daughter who in her history class has a certain gentleman, a teacher, who promotes his philosophy concerning human life and human relationships. Baked into the education system these days is coming in a kind of a philosophy that is trying to convince our young people concerning what is right. But when we enjoy Christ, yeah, we can see through all the delusion.
Amen.
And hold on to the one standard in this universe.
Amen.
And that is Christ himself.
Amen.
Can we read point two to see this matter of seeing through?
Only.
Of Christ. In Colossians Life Study Message 21, Brother Lee lingers on this point to show how we can be those who are not carried off as spoil. Saints, aren't you burdened that none of our young people would be carried off as spoil? The way is these five points. Number one, to take Christ as our life. Two, to hold him as our head. Three, to know him as the mystery of God. Four, to experience him as the hope of glory. And five, to walk according to Christ. Saints, we are those who take Christ in his all-inclusiveness and as the one measure, the one standard by which we estimate and evaluate whether any concept is acceptable to God or not.
Amen.
Could we read point I all together? Oh, amen. Could we just read that again with a prayerful spirit?
Amen.
The will
be our portion.
Christ. Enjoy Christ. In Colossians 1:9, the apostle says, "Therefore we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease praying and asking on your behalf, that you may be filled with the full knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding." And when you read the verses after verse 9, his will relates to the Father giving us Christ as our God-allotted portion. So the will of God is that we know Christ, experience Christ, enjoy Christ, be saturated with Christ, and have Christ become our life and person. Could we read together point J? Until in our experience, he is some things to us. Until in our experience, he is everything to us. I just appreciate so much the opening of the Lord's word by this ministry. The Lord's recovery is the recovery of the experience and enjoyment of Christ as everything. Oh, saints, as everything.
Amen.
Let me just read a little portion, if I may, in the normal Christian life. Brother Lee says, "This life is not something which we ourselves have to produce. It is Christ's own life reproduced in us." Let me illustrate with a story. I once stayed in America in the home of a saved couple, who soon after my arrival, this is Watchman Nee, soon after my arrival requested me to pray for them. I inquired the cause of their trouble. "Oh, Mr. Nee, we have been in a bad way lately," they confessed. "We are so easily irritated by the children. And during the past few weeks, we have both lost our tempers. several times a day. Does anyone know what he's talking about? We are really dishonoring the Lord. Will you ask him to give us patience? I think many of us would treasure Watchman Nee in our living room to give us some help. Watchman Nee's answer is, that is one thing I cannot do. What do you mean, they asked. I mean that one thing is certain, I answered, and that is that God is not going to answer your prayer. At that, they said in amazement, do you mean to tell us we have gone so far that God is not willing to hear us when we ask him to make us patient? No, I do not mean quite that, but I would like to ask you if you have ever prayed in this respect. You have. But did God answer? No. Do you know why? Because you have no need of patience. Then the wife's eyes flashed. What are you saying? She burst out. We do not need patience, and yet we get irritated the whole day long. The whole day long. It doesn't make sense. What do you mean? Quietly, I replied, it is not patience you need of. It is Christ. And this is the truth. God will not give me humility or patience or holiness or love as separate gifts of his grace. He is not a retailer dispensing grace to us in packets, measuring out some patience to the impatient, some love to the unloving, some meekness to the proud, in quantities that we take and work on as a kind of capital. He has given only one gift to meet all our need. Amen. His Son, Christ Jesus. Amen. How can we know more of Christ in this way? And saints, this is precious. Only by way of an increasing awareness of our need. Some are afraid to discover deficiency in themselves, and so they never grow. Growth in grace is the only sense in which we can grow, and grace, we have said, is God doing something for us. We all have the same Christ indwelling within, but revelation of some new need will lead us spontaneously to trust him to live out his life in us. In that particular, greater capacity means greater enjoyment of God's supply, another letting go, a fresh trusting in Christ, another stretch of land is conquered. Christ, my life, is the secret of enlargement. Saints, every situation, every deficiency, every anxiety, and every concern we experience is God himself giving us an opportunity to experience a new dimension of Christ. Amen. So that Christ can be everything to us. Amen. He's our financial stability. He's our health. He's our relationship with our mom. Amen. Right, young people? He's our aspiration for our future. Amen. He's our real school. Amen. Our real joy. Amen. Our real healer. Amen. Christ is everything. Amen. Amen. Can we read point one all together? The all.
Christ is in us. What we need to see in him, know him, be filled with him, be saturated with him.
Point two. Sisters on A. Amen. Brothers B. I read from Life Messages, do not pray for this and that. Simply pray that you may be infused with Christ and by Him. Pray by contacting Him. Then, as each day goes by, without your intending to do or be anything, you will live and move and have your being in the Spirit. Spontaneously, you will fulfill His commandment, walk by the Spirit. Christ will be lived out of you. Your whole being will be set upon your spirit. With your mind set upon your spirit, there will be the living by Christ. This is what God wants. Then, because of time, we'll mainly just read Roman numeral 2 all together to see that this Christ whom we are enjoying is the mystery of God, which means He's the explanation, the definition of God, the effulgence of God's glory, the image of God, and the answer to every question we have concerning God. Amen. Together on Roman numeral 2. Brothers, A. Sisters, B. All together on C, 1 through 5. Mystery in Colossians 2:2 may be interpreted as meaning story. As the mystery of God, all-inclusive Christ, is the history of God. The story of God is in Christ and is Christ. And all that God intends to do is related to Christ. Christ is not only God Himself, He is also God's history. God's history refers to the promise through which He has passed, so that He may dispense Himself into His chosen people. As the embodiment of God, the effulgence of God's glory, and the impress of God's substance. We do not know God, no God.
Only those who have seen Christ.
The mystery of God,
and the
blood,
and
the brotherness of God. Thank the Lord, saints, for such an all-inclusive Christ. I just conclude with the points that Brother Minoru mentioned at the beginning. These are the elements, the content, the nature of the Lord's recovery. The church ground of oneness versus division. The church as the organic body of Christ, as the fullness of the one who fills all in all. The all-inclusive Christ as the mystery of Christ, as the mystery of God. The life-giving and compound Spirit, the divine life in Christ, and the divine revelation of the Holy Word. Thank the Lord for all these rich points for our experience and our enjoyment in the Lord's recovery.